Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I am really happy to have you here. We're actually going to be doing something a little different this week, and some of you may notice we've actually put the episode out a couple of days early rather than on Thursday like we usually do. We're actually pumping this episode out sometime probably Wednesday morning, based upon when we record this on Tuesday night. But it's a special episode based on a current weather advisory going on, and we talk with Kyle, and it's just Kyle, Sam, and I tonight. So we thought we'd jump in and talk a little bit about what's going on in the tropical side of things on the Atlantic Basin, and pick up with some actual weather information that's going on currently and put something out more timely for you. So before we get into that, I want to say hi to Sam. Sam, you're out there. At least you're not living in California anymore where it's like 100 and ridiculous degrees.
This is true. In fact, I just got off the phone with a friend of mine in Northern California, and she said her outside temperature is 120. And I said, well, I need to make a trip back there, so dispel that heat before I get back there, or I won't even get out of the car. It's pretty warm here in Colorado, but, you know, it never stays that way for very long. So other than the heat, I mean, you know, usually we do kind of a what's going on right now in the weather.
Actually, I'm going to ask a question to Kyle before we get into our tropical update, because the heat thing brought something to mind. Is all this heat in California and the Southwest affecting the snow melt at all? Are we likely to see flooding because of this?
Good point.
I was curious because I know we got a lot of snow last year in the upper elevations.
Yeah, Jamie, that's a great question. We've talked about that a couple times in the past couple episodes, and this hot weather in the Southwest U.S. definitely will be increasing the rate at that which that snow melt is occurring. Right now, we're actually hitting peak river flows here in most of Colorado, and I know in the most of the Southwest United States as well. So definitely something to be keeping an eye on if you're going to any mountain sites there, and if you're taking those back Jeep roads or two tracks starting to venture into the mountains, definitely be careful where that water's running across the road. You don't know what's underneath it.
Good advice.
Good advice.
Yeah, just
one of those big holes could open up on you.
Oh yeah, or flash flooding or any of that stuff. So good to be aware of. All right, well, let's jump in and talk a little bit about what we're going to do this week, which is look at the tropical update. And maybe, Kyle, you can kind of give us a prelude into what's going on. I think we had two storms named at the same time in June for the first time in a long time.
Yes, Jamie, we had two named storms ongoing in the Atlantic Basin. We had Tropical Storm Brett as well as Tropical Storm Cindy that were both named. As of our time recording here on this Tuesday evening on June 20, Brett is no longer meeting tropical storm criteria, started to lose its structure. So it's now the National Hurricane Center is no longer issuing any advisories or other weather products for it. But that doesn't mean that we're out of the woods yet, because Tropical Storm Cindy is probably the one on a lot of people's minds as she, if I can use that, turns towards the Gulf Coast and is projected to inundate several states with torrential rainfall over the next few days.
So what are those areas, Kyle, specifically, so our listeners can be aware of they're in that danger zone?
Absolutely. So with Tropical Storm Cindy currently sitting several miles offshore and is projected to the center of Tropical Storm Cindy is projected to make landfall somewhere in southeast Texas either late Wednesday or Wednesday night, and then move inland over the southeast part of Texas on Thursday. Currently, the maximum winds are about 45 miles per hour, but a slight strengthening is expected just before that center of that tropical storm makes landfall. But do keep in mind that the tropical storm force winds, so those are winds up to 73 miles per hour, extend almost 200 miles out from the center of that storm, mostly to the north and to the east. So the biggest hazards that The National Hurricane Center is talking about in all of their different products that they use to communicate the hazards for these tropical systems. The big one they're talking about, heavy rainfall and flooding that's projected to occur from eastern Texas all the way to Alabama in the next 48 hours or so. And as that storm makes landfall there in southeast Texas, it's going to get picked up by the flow of the atmosphere, kind of the jet stream and some of the mid-level wind patterns. And that's going to make it what we call recurve, or curve off to the north and to the east, where it will then track across the lower Mississippi Valley and then the southern and central Appalachians before finally dissipating. So again, rainfall amounts approaching close to 10 inches over the next few days that are in the forecast. I truly hope that those do not verify. I hope that they're much, much less. But this is why I always caution folks when it comes to these tropical systems. Be very careful about focusing on that tropical forecast, that center track cone that everyone's looking at. Oh, where's the center going to be? Because in this case, the greatest hazard is not going to be where the center makes landfall. It's going to be to the north and east of that system, where torrential rain, flooding, and flash flooding is likely to occur.
And of course, it can change direction at any point in time. We know that with hurricanes. And
And definitely, because currently right now, Cindy is actually sitting stationary, just kind of hanging out there, checking out the sites in the Gulf of Mexico. But then these hurricanes, they're actually steered by winds in the lower and middle parts of the atmosphere. And so until the winds come up and are able to start pushing Cindy a little bit more, giving that storm a nudge to the north, she's just going to sit there over the in the Gulf. But again, slow mover and slow moving systems, that's when we really start getting concerned about those heavy rains.
Yeah, because it just kind of acts like a scoop, right, Kyle? It actually just drives that moisture off the Gulf right into the coastline where it falls as precipitation.
Jamie, you're absolutely right. That's exactly why lots of folks are focused on the north and east side of these systems. And that's where, again, as you said, that moisture is being picked up from the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, the water's down there very warm, and the air is very warm as well, so it can hold a lot more moisture. And as that air moves and is kind of rotated counterclockwise around the center of that system, and it once that air kind of reaches land, it starts to slow down due to the friction over land. And as it slows down, kind of all that moisture kind of piles up or converges, as we like to say in the weather world. And once that moisture kind of converges and gets piled up in that one area, once the atmosphere can't hold it, it falls out as rain.
So when they're sitting out there, they're actually gaining moisture and becoming more dangerous. Because I remember a few hurricanes that were slow movers, the Hurricane Juan back in 1985, that came in, went back out, gained more rain, I guess, and then came back in and wreaked some more havoc. Is that, am I seeing that correctly?
Yes, absolutely, Sam. That's one of the key ingredients to not only initiate but to maintain these tropical systems is warm ocean water. Ideally, you're looking for ocean surface temperatures of 80 degrees Fahrenheit or warmer. Plenty of moisture in the lower and middle part of the atmosphere. Very little wind shear that we talked about in our last episode. So these tropical systems are very, they're monstrous, but very delicate in a certain way, in that if you have very strong winds in the upper part of the atmosphere, they'll actually tear these systems apart. So we want low wind shear. And that's really those three key ingredients that we're looking for and once a little cluster or pre-existing disturbance in the tropics enters areas with those conditions, it's really, really favorable conditions to have these storms form and maintain themselves.
Good stuff. So you mentioned the Tropical Cyclone Advisory products. Would you review those real quick?
Absolutely. I think just one thing that I would really like folks to be aware of is that first and foremost, the United States' National Hurricane Center, that's found at hurricanes.gov, hurricanes.gov, is the authoritative source for all tropical weather outlooks, watches, warnings, and advisories for the United States and its territories. And they are, again, they're the ones, again, the Eastern Pacific and the Atlantic basins are the two areas that they focus on. And those, of course, are the ones that affect the United States' immediate coastline. So go ahead, Sam.
No, I was just going to say as well, it's wise for people to plug into whatever their local alert system is as well, correct?
Yes, having a way to receive not only forecast information, but also a timely way to receive those immediate products that are being generated and that are being disseminated by, you know, the National Hurricane Center as the originator, but then those are then relayed through whichever warning systems or alerting systems that your local municipality, be it city, county, whatever, may have in place. And you could also subscribe to any of those weather alerts through a number of sources, including the FEMA app is one, as well as there's a number of other ones out there. But having a way to receive the forecast, as well as the watch, warning, and advisory products as it relates to tropical weather, in this case with this discussion, and even going back to when, you know, things get pretty bad and some of these are more modern networks like cell networks and things start failing. Going back to your old trusty NOAA weather all hazards radio can be a great fallback or another blanket or another layer of warning and preparedness so that you can make sure you're receiving these alerts and these products.
Yeah, battery powered radio. Really good point on that one, because people forget that there may not be electricity in the worst case scenario. So there's like four different levels of advisories now, aren't there?
Well, not levels of advisories, but four different products, let's say, that are generated by the National Hurricane Center for each tropical system, be it a disturbance, tropical storm, tropical cyclone, hurricane, however it's classified, the National Hurricane Center is issuing these products. And each of them have a different purpose, but all contain vital information depending on how you're going to use it. So the first one that we talk about, or that I want to talk about, is the public advisory. So that's if you again go to hurricanes.gov, that's the first thing that you'll see pop up there. It says public advisory. And that's intended for, as you guessed, as the name implies, members of the general public. So it's what we call plain language. From the weather community, there's other products that we'll get to that are more technical. But if you want a quick look at, hey, what's going on in plain language without all the jargon, this is if any of you are from broadcast or news agencies and things, you kind of have a term called rip and read. This is exactly the product that you want. So the public advisory, that's the headline. Where's the center of the system? Wind speed, where is it going? What watches or warnings are currently in effect, and then what's the track, what's the forecast for intensity, and what are the hazards being projected in the next 48 hours. So this is the product that if you're not super dialed in, if you're not very savvy on some of the weather jargon and you want the quick, just the facts, ma'am, approach, the public advisory is the product for you. And for anyone from public safety agencies, emergency management agencies that are disseminating information out to their public, this is a great product to amplify and to share with your local partners, again, because it's plain language, rip and read, just the facts.
And the good thing, too, is that stays updated, I would assume, almost minute to minute.
Absolutely. So those all these products are updated. They receive, let me say, the full update four times per day. So every 6 hours they're being updated. Of course, if something major were to happen, because, of course, Sam, as you mentioned, there are relatively small timescale changes that happen with these tropical systems that can have very, very large impacts. So when things do change, definitely those updates may be issued more frequently.
Okay, so what about the more weather savvy folks that want more detailed information?
Well, Sam, for my fellow weather weenies out there and those that are...
I'm becoming one, Kyle. You're turning me into one.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Sam. That's awesome. All right. So for whether it's Sam, whether you're becoming a weather weenie or just through the podcast, or you're just kind of interested in, hey, what are the National Hurricane Center forecasters talking about and why are they making the decisions they are? Why are they issuing certain products? There are two things that you want to key in on. The first is the forecast advisory. And the forecast advisory is another product that, you can find that is issued for each tropical system. And that is that includes all the weather jargon, if you will. So it really goes into, starts breaking down kind of what watches and warnings are in effect, where's the center, what's the motion of the storm, so where is it tracking towards, as well as other information for meteorologists and for perhaps local forecasters, such as my friends in the broadcast community or my friends in the private weather community that are tasked with taking this official information from the National Hurricane Center, integrating it and disseminating it through their methods, through their systems and things. This also contains a lot of other good technical information that when partnered with a trained weather mind, if you will, can really help you with how you're communicating and how you might be preparing locally or within your area of responsibility. The second thing that I want to talk about with regard to a little bit more weather savvy folks is the forecast discussion. And so in there, this is where it's a text product that essentially gives the forecasters reasoning and their thoughts for what's happening currently with this system in weather speak, what's going to happen in the next about 48 hours or so, and really generates and really is designed to say, okay, based on what you saw in our, in our forecast advisory, let us justify why we're putting the classifications on it that we are. Why did we issue or say take down a watch or a warning, perhaps, with regard to these tropical systems? And so it's a text product that also includes some technical information at the end of it. But this is the two products for my more weather savvy folks to key in on.
Well, all's fair. We're turning you into a disaster junkie. So I think we're breaking even here. Any thoughts or questions, Jamie?
No, actually, while he's talking about it, I'm actually going through the National Hurricane Center's website and looking at all the things. If you go to that main page and scroll down, you'll see the listing for Tropical Storm Cindy. And you'll see the public advisory and the forecast advisory, the forecast discussion. So you can track through all those things that Kyle just discussed. And you don't, I mean, I'm not considering myself a weather weenie like everybody else on the show is tonight. But I had no trouble understanding it. It's easy to understand and make sense of. And I liked, one of the things I liked seeing was, the listing of the the forecasted location at 12, 24, 36, 48, 72 hours out to see what the wind speeds were and the location of the storms, by longitude and latitude, which is pretty cool. So you can kind of plot this and look, if you know your own area and where you are, you can kind of tell where this storm might likely be. So that's pretty cool. And it was kind of fun looking at that while Kyle was going through and describing what it was.
You know, if it's coming at you, that's a good thing to know. Well, you know, one of the things that we always do, we try to educate the public on how to be prepared, as well as our favorite people, the responders, of which we are all one of, in one sort or another. And I think about those people, you know, especially we talked to Chris in Oklahoma City right after a big tornado, when providers are trying to get in there to help people. Regardless of the kind of storm, there's always going to be dangers to those folks. What are your thoughts on that, Kyle?
Well, Sam, I think that's a very important point, in that while, again, we as, you know, as planners and emergency preparedness folks, first responders, whichever hat, helmet, vest, badge that you're wearing for the day, whichever tool you're carrying, at the end of the day, we are concerned about our communities and keeping them safe. But as responders, if we're not also focusing on keeping ourselves and our families safe and prepared, the unfortunate reality is that you know, once if we're worried about our family and whether or not they're going to be okay, our mind is not going to be on the task at hand. It's going to be on our families back home. And so it really making sure that folks within your agency and their families are ready and prepared for whichever hazards can threaten your community. And so to make sure that their families are taken care of so they can be most effective and dedicated on the job to avoid to lessen the potential of any injury due to, you know, being inattentive or having their mind focused elsewhere. But I think more, Sam, what you're getting at is that as these impacts are being felt at the local level, whether it be, you know, high winds, whether it be torrential rainfall, flooding, flash flooding, even, you know, tornadoes that can be produced by hurricane, you know, insert hazard here, when it comes to hurricanes in these tropical systems, we also need to make sure that our responders are staying safe. And just keeping in mind that as you're moving around through the community that you're in every day and kind of, you know, where things are, where to go, where not to go, just because you drove down that street on perhaps your patrol through that area just 30 minutes ago, things could have totally changed. You know, wires being brought down, roads being undermined due to, you know, high water and fast moving water. So just always keeping your situational awareness up, and so that we can be keeping ourselves safe.
Yes, the terrain will have changed. And you made a point in previous podcasts, and you touched on it earlier tonight, was people get kind of in the mindset that, you know, if it's a tropical storm coming in from the Gulf, that if you don't live on the shoreline of the Gulf, you're not going to be affected by it. But you said something earlier about, especially when you're dealing with heavy rain systems, that can affect area, I think you said 200 miles upward of the coast. I think that's a good point to finish this off with.
Absolutely. I think it's very important for folks to just kind of to wrap this and don't get hung up on, am I in that cone or am I not in the cone? Am I going to be impacted by the center of the system or not? Because the center of the system, again, in this case, especially for Tropical Storm Cindy, that's not where the greatest hazards are going to be realized. The hazards that are in the forecast with the heavy rain and flash flooding are occurring hundreds of miles away from the center of this system. This is going to be a system that produces widespread impacts across the South Central and Southeast United States, and that's not an exaggeration. That's going to be reality. That's what we're going to see. And so with these systems, just because it's not a hurricane doesn't mean it doesn't have the potential to cause, you know, catastrophic damage to life and property and the loss thereof. So always keeping in mind that no matter what name you put on it, the same way, I don't care if it's a category 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you know, it's going to be damaging, and just the level to which that damage is going to be will be dictated by a number of factors. But if to get out of your mind, it's just a tropical storm, it's just a category 1 or 2 hurricane. Let's remove that phrase from our vocabulary starting this hurricane season, 2017, because as a weather community, as a first responder emergency management community, and as, you know, just a global community at large, each hazard is, you know, each hurricane, each tropical system, each storm is different. And just because you got lucky the last time, eventually that luck runs out. So please pay attention to the information, listen to your local officials, and again, follow the National Hurricane Center and your local National Weather Service forecast office for the latest information. And again, just keep an eye to the sky, stay aware, and listen to your local officials.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that, you know, on the coastline, yeah, we'll be dealing with some storm surge in some areas where the surf just pushed inland a little bit. But all along the Gulf Coast are basically low-lying flat areas. And so a significant amount of rain is going to cause the rivers there to flood, especially this time of year, as you know, they're still draining the central basin of the United States down through that area. So I think it's important for all of us to keep that in mind, for responders to stay safe, to make sure your own families are protected and your disaster kits are ready to go. And for listeners that aren't responders, that just like to listen to the show, make sure your disaster kits are ready. If you don't know what needs to go in one, you've still got time to prepare. Go to ready.gov, look at what you need to have in your disaster kit, and get prepared now.
Yeah, Jamie, it's too bad Dr. Joe couldn't be with us tonight, because he thrives on this information, being part of the disaster community. And I know he likes, you know, his whole life is about keeping people prepared and trained and educated for this kind of thing.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that you need to be prepared for what is going to happen after the storm passes, and you're dealing with the floodwaters as they come down slowly, and you've got to start searching, doing your search and rescue operations and things like that. And that's one of the things that Joe and the rest of the folks at Paragon Medical Education Group are so good at, and why we're so happy to have them as sponsors of this program, is because they really make it so that we can have a great show here, but they also make it so that people out there that they go into their systems and provide amazing training for are better prepared for whatever disaster they come in and teach you about. And that's one of the things. They bring people that have experience with hurricane and flood response. They bring people in that have active shooter and man-made disaster response experience. All of those things can be brought to you from Paragon Medical Education Group, and we just want to thank them wholeheartedly for continuing to support the show. Make sure you check them out and tell them thank you for supporting the Disaster Podcast. You know, it doesn't take much for you to just drop a Twitter message or a Facebook message on their page saying thanks for supporting the Disaster Podcast. If you can take 2 minutes to do that, it really means a lot to us here on the show and ensures their continued support. So please do that. You can find them over at ParagonMedicalGroup.com or ParagonMedEDU on Twitter. And of course, you can just search for Paragon Medical Group on Facebook, and you'll find them there as well. Just thank them for supporting the show. Kyle, thanks so much. We were kind of wondering what we were going to be talking about tonight, and you chimed right in on our email message earlier today saying, hey, I'd love to talk about what's going on in the tropical systems right now. And I think this has been a great show, and I'm happy that we're going to be able to put it out early so that this is going to predate the storm a little bit.
Fantastic. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue to contribute here on the Disaster Podcast. And I hope all the listeners find all the information that we're sharing very valuable. And again, this is kind of a something a little bit different for us on the show. And so please definitely let us know if you found this kind of a quick update, a kind of a non-scripted type message valuable. And that's really what we'd like to know is what do you, the listener, what do you find most valuable with these messages? And, you know, did this, and if this helps you, you know, either before the event, during, or even after, please reach out, please let us know. Even if the information that we're sharing can save and help keep one person safe or save a life, we've all done our job then. So again, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Okay, Kyle, folks want to find you or follow you, where can they do that?
Well, folks can follow me on all the social medias under the handle WX Kyle Nelson. So I'm always tweeting and Instagramming all fun weather stuff.
Cool. Well, we'll look for you there, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Sam, where can folks find you?
Well, like Kyle, I'm on the usual social media places under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11. We also have the Facebook page devoted to the Disaster Podcast. We will sign you up for that. All you need to do is give us a shout that you're interested in connecting. And all of the former guests that we've had, a lot of them are on there now. So whatever you might listen to, if you have a question for those folks, certainly including Kyle, feel free to shoot them up there. And, of course, the disasterpodcast.com website. And I know we find you there, Jamie. Where else will we find you?
Yeah, you can find me over at disasterpodcast.com. If you're looking for me on social media, you can friend, follow, or otherwise check me out over on most social media platforms under the handle PodMedic. And I look forward to hearing from you over there. And of course, you know, like Sam said, you know, join our Facebook group. Just look for Disaster Podcast. Request to join the group. We'll be happy to add you. And you can comment on the episodes as they get posted or post a question for some of our disaster experts. I think we're over 400 strong over there right now. And so there's people there from ER docs to first responders to people at all levels of different levels of response and preparedness. So please join the community over there. We'd love to have you. Good episode, Sam. I'm glad we did this. I know it's a little bit different from our usual format with a current weather event like this, but I'm pretty excited about the fact that we were able to do this today.
I agree. And, you know, we always say at the end of the show, disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine. But I'm kind of looking at this as though maybe we don't need to get into too much disaster medicine if people are really prepared in the first place. And we have fewer injuries and issues to deal with. So that's kind of the focus of the show. It is a little different. Kyle has added so much being our weather geek. And I think this is an important contribution. So I'm glad not only could he give us this information, but you're able to get it out in a timely manner. So as the summer goes and the hurricane season develops, you may see more of these shows out there. So I'm going to shoot that out on social media and let people know that'll be up tomorrow, especially for those folks in the affected areas. So again, thank you, Kyle, for your great contribution.
Definitely. Always happy to jump in and appreciate, Sam, you and Jamie being flexible and always up for trying something new.
Excellent. All right, folks. Well, that's it for this episode of the Disaster Podcast. Since Sam decided we weren't going to sign out the usual way because we have a different format tonight, I'll just remind all of you to remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to the Disaster Podcast.